And God's grace, His mercy, and peace be with you today from our Father and our Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Well, when I was a little boy, every time of Thanksgiving, my parents, we used to go with my Uncle Jim and his family, all my cousins, to Plymouth Plantation in Plymouth, over on the mainland in Massachusetts. I don't know if any of you have ever been there, but it's a remake of the actual Plymouth Plantation where the Pilgrims went. And as a little boy, this was my absolute dream, to live like the Pilgrims used to live. So I've always loved the woods. I've always loved the oceans and the quiet bays and the islands of Cape Cod, and especially in the fall when things quiet down and the cold, dark of winter. Sometimes at my parents' place up there, I would go out on the deck at night and listen to the woods and the bays out behind the house, and it was so quiet you could hear a pin drop. There was no noise, except occasionally every few minutes there'd be the hoot of a great horned owl off in the woods. That would be about it. So I love the woods, I love the pristine wilderness, and I loved the idea as a little boy of sailing a tall ship, obviously, old wooden and hemp line and all that, and tar smell, and sailing that to America and living in a virgin wilderness where there was no civilization or disturbances of buildings or cement or concrete or any of those noises from Massachusetts stretching all the way across the woods and the mountains and the Great Plains and the mountains all the way to California. Just to imagine how beautiful that was back then. And I sometimes would fantasize and romanticize about what the pilgrim's life would really be like. But I think it was a bit of romanticizing, if that's a word, about their lives, because as beautiful as the land was to which they came, it was also a harsh and deep wilderness. And let me just give you a little history of the pilgrims to start out here. They were separatists. They were persecuted by the Church of England. They fled to the Netherlands at first, and after they were there for a while, they fled back to England and decided to head to the New World, to America, in two ships, the Speedwell and the Mayflower. And they set sail in August. Actually, it was August 5th, 1620, to go to the New World. And two times they had to come back to port because the Speedwell had sprung leaks. Why? Any guesses? The crew, not wanting to fulfill their contract with this boat, had sabotaged it. And so they eventually left the third time on the Mayflower alone, the 102 souls, pilgrims aboard, and they set to the ocean on September 16th, 1620. And it all started out very nicely to start out, and then they came into the teeth of several gales, which cracked the main beam. They had to have something they called the Great Iron Screw, whatever that was, to prop up the main beam and keep the ship from foundering in the middle of the North Atlantic. They got to Cape Cod, Provincetown, November 10th, 1620, basically facing a New England winter, late in all of their plans, cold and exposure, and no food whatsoever. They had to plunder an Indian corn stores for the winter that they found. And then by December, just a short couple of weeks later, they were all coughing and were ill. And in a very short amount of time, 47 of their 103 people died. Scurvy, sickness of whatever kind. In fact, they said in an article I read that there were only 6 or 7 pilgrims who were well enough to take care of all the rest. The rest were so laid out sick, and they would bury their dead at night to keep the Indians from the Native Americans from recognizing how their numbers were dwindling before them. And but then they went over to Plymouth, which is south of Boston. On January 19th, they had their first house, January 19th. But through the year, they had the help of Squanto and Massasoit, king of the Powhatan Indians, and they survived by the grace of God in the harsh wilderness. And the next year, in the fall, about November probably, they had a Thanksgiving where they celebrated the plenty that God had given them. And they invited the Indians over and talked about inviting the in-laws. They thought, Massasoit, come on over with your family. Well, they didn't realize he had 90 relatives that he brought over. They went out into the woods and helped the pilgrims by killing 5 deer. The pilgrims had gone out, and one day, according to John Winslow, they killed as many fowl as could feed their entire company for a week. How plentiful the land was, it brought forth. And God provided for them in the wilderness. And why do I share this with you? It's because you also, in truth, really are pilgrims today. And God is providing for you in the wilderness in the same way. And their story really is our story as Christians. Think about what it says in Hebrews chapter 11. It says of the saints of the Old Testament, "These all died in faith, not having received what was promised, but having seen it and greeted it from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. For people who speak thus make it clear that they're seeking a homeland." If they'd been thinking of that land from which they'd gone out, you know, the earthly Canaan, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. Do you believe today? Are you seeking a country, a better homeland, a country in heaven? You are a pilgrim. You don't belong in this world. Actually, your home is up there, and this world we're going through really is a deep wilderness. And as we go through the wilderness, I want to ask, can you give thanks in the same way that the pilgrims did? And can you give thanks whereas Israel in the Old Testament led 40 years through the wilderness, basically never gave thanks, save for Moses, Joshua, and Caleb probably. The rest of them just grumbled and malcontents, ticked off that God had led them out from Egypt into this great wilderness to bring them the promised land. So how about you? You're pilgrims. Are you going to give thanks in this great wilderness? Well, I think we can, and we should in every way give thanks, even when we're facing the headlines that we see in the news, even when we're facing the troubles we have in our lives, whether it be sickness, financial, whatever it may be. We're giving thanks as pilgrims in this wilderness. Why? Number one, because in this great wilderness, God is using the hardships, the forests full of wolves and whatnot, in order to humble us, test us, and bring us forth good in the end. Let's take a look at our Old Testament reading for today. Deuteronomy 8 says this in verse 2. God says through Moses to the people in the wilderness in Israel, or the Israel people of Israel in the wilderness, "You shall remember all the way which the Lord your God has led you these 40 years in the wilderness, that he might humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. And he humbled you and let you hunger and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man does not live by bread alone, but that man lives by everything that proceeds from the mouth of God." You sometimes wondering, like I do in life, why is all this happening? I mean, God is my king. I'm supposed to be prospering here. He's letting you hunger. He's not providing for every need in the abundance that you're hoping. We can thank God in those times of scarcity because what he's doing, he's humbling you. He's testing you. He's proving you. Think of what it says in Isaiah 48. "Behold, I've refined you, but not like silver. I have tried you in the furnace of affliction." Do you know how you actually get dross out of silver? You burn it, right? Until eventually you get all the impurities off and you scoop off all those. How does a silversmith know when that silver has been refined to the perfect grade? By looking into the pool of molten silver, and he can see the reflection of his face. Well, God is putting you through the furnace of affliction in this great wilderness of this world until at last, when he's consumed all those impurities from you, he can look into you and see the perfect reflection of his son Jesus. So we can give thanks to God in the wilderness when he's doing these things to us because what he's doing, as it says in Deuteronomy 8, also, this is beyond what your scripture says, but it says, "Take heed lest you forget the Lord your God, who fed you in the wilderness with manna, which your fathers did not know, that he might humble you and test you to do you good in the end." Let's remember that today, that you can give thanks in everything, even the hardships and calamities and the forests and the wilderness and the savages that we have to go through in this world, look, God is intending with a great purpose to do you good in the end and to make you like his son Jesus through these. So give thanks to him for that. Another thing is in the wilderness, God, as he provided for the pilgrims, so he also provided for the people of Israel, and he provides for you. Think of what it says in Deuteronomy 2, verse 7. For the Lord your God has blessed you in all the work of your hands, for he knows you're going through this great wilderness. These 40 years the Lord your God has been with you, you have lacked nothing. Anybody have shoeless feet today? I'm looking around here. Your shoes have been kept upon your feet these years in the wilderness. You still have clothes on your back. You may be kicking and screaming. You don't have more. But look, you're here today, right? As Dale said, the faithful few. And God has still fed you. He's protected you. He's put a roof over your head. And we ought not, therefore, be like Israel. Remember when they were in the wilderness. It says in Psalm 78, verse 19 and following, they spoke against God, saying, can God spread a table in the wilderness? I ask myself that sometimes when I get worried about things, provision and whatnot. Look, can God spread a table in the wilderness? If God can spread a table in the wilderness, he's going to spread it for me. But Israel didn't believe. And when the Lord heard, he was full of wrath, and a fire was kindled against Jacob. His anger mounted against Israel because they had no faith in God and did not trust his saving power. But think of Psalm 103, which says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Think of how God has provided for you in the wilderness, who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good as long as you live, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Look, God took care of them. He takes, not a sparrow falls in the wilderness without him knowing it. He clothes the grass which is alive in the field today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven. Will he not much more clothe you, O men of little faith? So do not be anxious about your life, what you'll eat, what you'll wear. For all the nations of the world seek these things, and your Father knows that you need them. Instead, seek his kingdom, and these things shall be yours as well. This is God's will for you today. Don't be anxious about tomorrow. Tomorrow will be anxious for itself, says Jesus. Let the day's own trouble be sufficient for the day. Don't you realize who's with you in the wilderness? Don't you realize who's leading you? They had Governor Bradford in the old days in Plymouth. They had Moses in the Old Testament. But you have Jesus, your great governor. If he's with you in the wilderness, didn't you read, didn't you hear, or were you sleeping during the gospel lesson today? He fed 5,000 people with 5 loaves and 2 fish and had more left over. It's not that he does a miracle in the supernatural like that, but it's an example to show to his people, for all time, I can provide for you and will provide for you. So we can give thanks to God in the wilderness. Not only is he using it to mold you and shape you into the shape of Jesus, but he's also going to provide for you in the wilderness. Maybe not everything you want right now, but everything you need, and even then some abundantly over. So give thanks to God today in the wilderness. If you're struggling, he will provide. And then thirdly, because not only as we look back to what God does, has done and is doing for us, but look, the pilgrims had their eyes on the new world. That's why they left England. In fact, Governor Bradford wrote these words of them, saying they had a heavenly vision too. So the pilgrims, they left that goodly and pleasant country, England, which had been their resting place near 12 years. But they knew that they were pilgrims and looked not much on these things, but lift up their eyes to ye heavens, their dearest country, and quieted their spirits. Don't you see where God is leading you? Just understand today, he is real, he is the living God, he is alive, and he is the captain of your company. And this captain is leading you to a place, a land flowing with milk and honey, where you'll eat your food in abundance without scarcity, where there'll be no more trying and testing and molding and putting you in the furnace of affliction. You'll be made perfect into the image of Jesus Christ. What a great God we have here a living God, not like Moses, even Caleb or Joshua, not like Governor Bradford, but the living God himself is providing for you. And I want you to look into his eyes today, just by faith right now, to see Jesus standing before you and see him looking at where his gaze is, the land to which he is leading you, the better country, that heavenly one, where all the saints will dwell in that promised land of milk and honey forever. And as it says in 1 Peter 3:18, "For Christ also died for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God." Bring you to God. So that's where you're going. You're a pilgrim. You're passing through the great wilderness. So I love the wilderness. I love the woods, but they are scary, at least in the old days. Dark hollows. There are beasts abundant. Savages, as they called them in the old days. Fiends everywhere. But you know what? Through the wilderness of this world, I actually delight, because God is using it to do great things for me. He's providing for me in it, and he's bringing me to a great place. So today, on this Thanksgiving Day, let's thank God. You have everything as God's people. Give thanks to him. In Jesus' name, amen.